Happy Saturday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast here over your weekend. If all things are going well, I'm still down at Walt Disney World checking in live with posts on Instagram and Twitter. So give me a follow at Be Our Guest Mike and also at Be Our Guest Pod. Lots of content there if you're curious about how things are looking down at Walt Disney World this fall. So checking in live from there. And of course, here on the feed, we have just a couple more of these previously recorded community check-in shows. This one, again, is from back in June where we got the announcement that day of no Mickey's not-so-scary Halloween parties. We also got more information on the mask policy that is now in place at Walt Disney World. So it's a little time capsule from back over the summer where we were finding out news every few days about how Disney trips would look different moving forward. So again, just a little bit more bonus content here on the feed. Very shortly, we're going to be back to just four shows a week on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So these are going to go away here shortly, but just kind of getting this content out here as timely as we can. Don't forget three ways to support the show. Book your next trip with the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. Check out all their great free services right now over at themagicforless.com. While you're there, fill out that free no obligation quote form, and an agent will get back to you right away. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. That really does help us out every time you shop online. Costs you nothing extra. You get all your benefits. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, a little behind the scenes in your week, become a patron. Patreon.com/brguestpodcast. You get a mini podcast called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. Behind the scenes photos, polls, discussions, and more. So become a patron over at patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Happy Thursday night, everybody. Welcome to yet another Be Our Guest Podcast community check-in live here on Facebook. Today is Thursday night, June 18th, 2020, and we are going to have a great time broadcasting from the beautiful Be Our Guest Podcast Studios out of St. Peters, Missouri. We're going to be taking your calls on all things Disney. We have some news to talk about tonight, and we can get your feedback on that, and any topic you want. We can talk about anything, just fun stuff. You know, I miss eating at Yak and Yeti, or man, do I wish I had an ice cream sandwich from Sleepy Hollow. There's a lot of those things that have been going through my head over the last 24 hours. I wish I was sitting down with three other listeners with Beaches and Cream with a kitchen sink. How awesome would that be? Let's do that soon. So we got a little news, so let's kind of talk about some of the stuff that's happened over the past 24 hours so we can get your feedback on it. And of course, if I miss any of the stories, you can fill us in as well on your call at 407-413-9395. We're also going to have a little preview of what you can hear if you become a patron. Our new little podcast, a mini podcast, not a big one. It's a once a week mini podcast called Mike in the Midwest, just kind of having some fun with some of my childhood stories. So I'll play one of those stories for you tonight. But let's get to the news first and talk about some of the stuff that's been going on. So as of our recording here on Thursday night, at about 4 o'clock Central Time, we were getting ready to head out to dinner, and Twitter started blowing up with news that Orange County, which is where Walt Disney World is. Well, Walt Disney World actually spans a couple of counties, but the major county is Orange County, and they have seen a spike in the COVID-19 cases down there right now. So their elected officials kind of came to a consensus that they are going to require face masks for everybody all the time when you're outside in a public area. Now, there are a few exceptions. You can look that up on Twitter or on the Orange County, Florida website. But for the most part, if you are outside anywhere in Orange County, you will be required to wear a face covering, and that goes into effect on Saturday. So we have about 36 hours till that goes into effect. So for those folks that are going down next week, maybe to stay at Walt Disney World just for a resort reservation, that's going to be something that's going to affect your trip. Also, moving forward, when the parks open in July, I would imagine this would still be the case. But as we know, things change from day to day, week to week. So stand by and just watch the news on, you know, whatever your favorite news source is. But that is something that broke over the past, I'd say, 3 hours from the time we're recording. Let's see. Other things that have happened. We're seeing, if you're an annual pass holder, we're starting to see that the dates are getting added on to select annual passes, depending on what level you have. And it seems like I did a little math and I was looking at some averages. I haven't looked at mine, actually. I've been just kind of following other people that are reporting. It looks like everybody's getting about 117 days. Is that right? Added onto their annual passes. I think that's what I had here in my math. So what you're going to see is it's going to have your expiration date now, and it's going to reflect the days that the parks were closed, and I guess they're just saying they will be closed till July 11th. Now, what I find interesting with that is this fact, and let's hope this doesn't happen. But I always say prepare for the worst and hope for the best kind of thing. July 11th is when the Magic Kingdom and the Animal Kingdom are projected to reopen, and then the studios and Epcot on the 15th. Okay, so we all have those dates in our brain for probably the last couple of weeks. At least I have, because I've been looking forward to those pretty seriously. However, with the current trends in Florida, you never know if the parks will reopen at that time, because that is the plan right now. But I'd imagine if things keep going up with the COVID, that they could. Now, I'm not saying they will, but I mean, they could reevaluate things and maybe delay things a little bit more. So right now they're saying, I think it was around 117 days on the annual passes. We'll see. But that is kind of, that's good news, because it's giving us an idea of when we can decide, you know, if you have an annual pass, at least now you have an idea of when your annual pass will expire for future planning purposes. Even if you can't plan a trip right now today, at least we have an idea of, okay, so if I want to plan a trip this time, will I have tickets? Do I have to buy tickets? Because that's probably the biggest expense of a Disney trip is your ticket media. So that's kind of good that we are getting information there, but it might not be a final number. That could change, I would imagine. So that has been happening. Also, I want to hear your thoughts on this too. We have rumors or reports that the buffets, because Lord knows I love a good buffet down at Walt Disney World. I love a good buffet anywhere. These buffets might not be going away. We kind of talked about this over the past month. We kind of nailed this, I think, as a podcast community. It looks like they might be bringing back the buffets, but as family-style meals. And you know what? I love a family-style meal. So if you don't know what family-style is at Walt Disney World, family-style is akin to what you get at Garden Grill, where they bring you, you know, big servings that everybody can share at the table of the major items. And if you run out of anything, you just tell your waiter or waitress, they go back and get you more cheesy potatoes, or they go back and get you more ham, whatever it is. They also do this for the breakfast buffets over at Ohana, the Lilo and Stitch breakfast. It's all over the place. Whispering Canyon has an option there, or at least they did. So I like this idea because it's kind of the best of both worlds. You don't have to get up and fight the crowds to go up and fill your plate, which, I mean, I like a buffet and it's fine. I don't mind doing that. But, you know, they're bringing all the goods to your table and it's unlimited. So you can get refills. And, you know, if you run out of stuff at your table, you just ask for more. They bring it out. And obviously it's a lot more sanitary and a lot safer to do in our, you know, in our current situation. So I'm excited that, you know, these restaurants that we might have thought, oh, my gosh, all the buffets are going to be closed for the foreseeable future. Maybe not. Maybe we can enjoy the foods. You know, like Chef Mickey's was even mentioned. Now, that's kind of interesting. I'd like to get your take on this, too. I don't think most people go to Chef Mickey's for the food. I think they go for the characters, but maybe I'm wrong. I mean, when I've gone, it's usually because I want to get, you know, have a character meal with the Fab Five. The food's okay. I'm not saying the food's bad, but I don't think people seek out Chef Mickey's because of the food. But maybe I'm wrong. And we only go for breakfast. I've never been for dinner. So we can talk about that tonight. Lots of news to talk about. Any other stories you want to jump in with? Let's get those phone lines open. So 407-413-9395, 407-413-9395. This only works if you give me a call and we can have conversation. So please pick up the phone tonight. Give me a yell and let's talk some Disney. Also, one other thing that we could talk about is and I don't have it pulled up. I think it was Dr. Heyman from Walt Disney World, the chief, basically Disney's chief medical officer, gave a statement today, which I thought was very, very interesting. But we'll talk about that here in just a second. We got Alfred on the line. Alfred, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good. Very happy tonight.
Good deal. You having some strawberry wine?
Close.
I'm having...
Not strawberry wine.
What are you having?
A very tall glass of gin and tonic.
Well, there you go. Whatever. I'm Coke Zero for me, but cheers. I'm virtual cheers. So lots of news today. What do you think? What are your thoughts?
Okay. My pass has not changed the date yet.
Okay.
So I'm surprised because I have the Platinum Plus. So I'm very surprised not to see that.
So Platinum Plus is the non-blackout date with the water parks, right?
Wait a minute. No, I don't have the water parks.
Yeah, because I think it's just Platinum. I have Platinum where I don't have any blackout dates, but I don't have the water parks either because I don't want to pay the extra.
I think it's a Platinum Plus.
Maybe it is. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Yeah, I haven't looked at mine. I've just been watching Twitter today. I need to jump on and check mine out, but I'm not too worried because I'm not going right away, so I'm not sweating it.
Yeah, but I'm just confused, though, how they're doing it. Are they going top down, the highest ticket, and then?
Okay, let me give you a little hint that we always, internally at the Magic for Less, when something like this happens, and somebody says what you just said, I wonder how they're doing it. We just go, ha, 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 ha. We don't know. Nobody. Is he throwing darts at a board? Like, oh, you hit Rallman. Okay, let's give him his 117 days. Oh, you just nailed Alfred's forehead in a picture there. Okay, you get yours. You know, I have no idea. It's crazy. You can't figure them out.
No. And I don't think we ever will.
Nope. I just take it and, you know, hey, when it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, I'll call them.
Yep. Exactly. So that's that. I'm not concerned because any way you look at it, add 4 months to your expiration date and that you have the idea.
Yep. You're in the ballpark. Yep.
Yeah. So mine's good till the end of next April.
Yep.
Which would be great.
Mine will be good, too, because I got a January marathon, so February, March, April. Yeah, probably till about the end of April, May-ish,
Yeah, so, okay. I'm not surprised there have been spikes in Orange County. There have been spikes all over Florida because no one is doing what they need to do there.
My take on that is you're going to – so this, again, coming from Missouri, not from a super populated area, this is just what I say.
Yeah.
When you reopen the economy, the cases are going to go up because people were secured, locked in their houses. Now people are interacting. Yeah. They're going out to bars, restaurants, theme parks, shopping centers.
But they're not wearing masks.
Well, that's true. But I think that's what happened today, though. I think that they decided that they need to – you know, you don't want to shut down the economy again because that's just horrible. But, you know, I think they made a mistake by not having that requirement. So they're trying to get on. I mean, because it's quick. That's a quick turnaround. 36 hours. This goes into effect. Let's do it. And it's pretty much all encompassing, too. There's not a whole lot of gray area.
That's because yesterday cases were 2,500. Today it's 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
So every day they're going up and up. So, and these are new cases each day.
Yep.
So that's not good. So I'm glad they put that in effect because, especially for someone like me, I had an issue today. I was getting in the car to go to my doctor's appointment and my driver had to pick someone up. And that person did not put a mask on and I started to freak out.
Yeah. I could see that.
And I didn't want to embarrass the guy, but I rolled my seat all the way up, and I looked out the window the whole time.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it's one of those things that, like, we went out to dinner tonight at a local restaurant about 15 minutes away from here, and we sat out on the patio. And some people have masks, some people didn't. But, I mean, we're in an area where it's not common to wear them.
Okay.
You know, here's the thing. I have allergies, and there's, like, totally, like, all kinds of stuff in the air today. It's crazy. Like, just one of those days. It hasn't rained in a week, and there's crap all over the, like, you can tell. Look at my nose right now on the feed. Like, I just have allergies. And the thing is, I sneezed at the restaurant. My wife's like, oh, you did not. And I stifled it. Like, it was so quiet. It was the world's quietest sneeze, but I thought I was going to be assassinated. I was like.
But everyone looked at you.
Well, no, nobody did because I was in the corner of the restaurant, like, way tucked at we were at a table in the very corner. Outside on the patio, and everybody was being loud because everybody was drinking. You know, we weren't drinking. Everybody else was having beers and stuff. Yeah. They just got done playing golf.
Okay.
So, thank God. But that's I felt it coming. You know, it was one of those things like, oh, crap, I'm going to sneeze. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. And I'm holding it back. It's a little bit. It's like, oh, I can't believe I sneezed in public. I mean, it's like, it's the worst thing ever. It's the most dangerous sneeze of my life. It was crazy.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, you can't help sneeze, but if you have to sneeze. But my thing is too, if you're not eating or drinking, you should have the mask on, even if you're outside, at a bar or a restaurant.
Yeah, well, I remember
because
I see
of
that.
Times like that.
Yeah, I know. It caught me. Well, I was in the middle of eating my chicken wrap, though. I mean, I wouldn't have had it on anyway.
Well, that you can't help.
I was already eating.
Can't help that.
No kidding. Oh, man.
So,
that's crazy.
But this is my thing. I'm very freaked out. So I'm glad they're finally putting a little more pressure on people in Florida. Because then I'll feel a little better come December.
And that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing is that to me, again, this is just a guy coming up with ideas and I have no standing in this, but I say the biggest thing Disney can do. And I think this is why the chief medical officer is coming out with these updates every so often. It was about a month ago. She did the other one.
Yeah.
It's confidence. It's what you're saying is that more than deals, you know, parades or, you know, going to certain restaurants. I think the number one thing that they need is people having a confidence that when they get done. Now, again, you're going to have a waiver. You're going to have something saying that if you go into the parks, you go to Disney Springs, you know, you are taking a risk. But I think everybody has to be comfortable that it's a reasonable risk, you know, like Disney's. And that's what I wanted to say. The chief medical officer today in her statement, I'm not going to read it this time, but basically it was kind of, it was interesting because it was kind of like, we're going to do our part, but it's a two-way street. She basically said, we need our guests to be a partner and fulfill your role. And together we can really make this work. But with one or the other not pulling their weight, this might not work out very well.
Right. And I agree with that because as long as you have your mask on and the cast members have theirs on, things should be okay. Mm-hmm. The mask is really the thing that's going to turn this all around. But people got too complacent over the past week or two when things opened up and they said, oh, everything's open. We don't need to wear masks anymore. No, far from it. You want things open. You need to wear the mask.
Yeah. I mean, you're exactly right.
That's how I look at it.
Yeah. Because the thing is, you know, I'm very scientific. I mean, I'm wearing my Space Camp shirt today. I was a science teacher. Mm-hmm. I believe in science. But I also believe in psychology. And the thing is, I mean, with something like a mask, it's visible. It's tangible. You can touch it. You can see it. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things, like, if you get when we get a vaccine, when that happens, like, you can't even see that. Like, that's a faith kind of thing. You know, like, you can't see if somebody else that you've had, you know, like, I mean, if you get it, it doesn't matter if anybody else does. But like with a mask, it's like you can see it. It's tangible. It shows that you are taking necessary precautions. You know, so I think that's another, besides the science all behind it, it's the psychology of, okay, everybody around me is masked up. I can kind of breathe a little bit, you know, probably not breathe easier, but you can be more comfortable because everybody's
being
fulfilling
out
their role. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it. That's the whole truth of that. Yep. And then, what else was today? Oh, the buffets. We said this, that we thought that it would be family style. I'm just curious, will they keep the same prices if they were character meals?
I bet you they will.
I bet they will, too, because they want to at least recoup some of the money.
Right. That's right.
Then will they have everything that was on the buffet, or will it be a select
thing? Yeah, because you're right. I mean, even the family style places like Garden Grill, Ohana, I mean, you don't have as many items as you have. You're right. I mean, you probably have 10 things. I mean, you got 10 really good things, you know, that are on your table, maybe. But on a buffet, obviously, you probably have maybe 40 or 50 items. I didn't think about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point.
So either way, I would still be happy with that, you know.
Yeah.
Because I actually like that, you know.
Well, the whole thing is,
the buffet,
too.
So I would be happy with that.
Same.
Family style.
I'm exactly the same. I love family style. But, I mean, the thing with the restaurants is it doesn't bother me as much because, like, you can look at the price point and you can either do it or not. You know, like, if you say, well, Chef Mickey's is $54 for the buffet and it's still $54 for the family style and I'm only getting to choose from 10 items. I mean, that's where the consumer decides. Okay, it's worth it. It's not, you know.
Right.
It's not going to, you know, just go somewhere else, eat somewhere else.
Right. Well, that's it.
Yep.
So, now, next thing, before I forget, I got my T-shirt and I have the mask.
You got to email me the picture. Just mike@brguestpodcast.com. Let's make this easy.
Okay.
And it'll be on Instagram tonight.
Okay, let me write this down then. mike@brguestpodcast.com.
Pretty simple. Okay. Yep.
Okay.
All right, Alfred. Well, I'm going to scoot because other people are trying to get in, and we're going to get all this feedback from all the news today.
Yep. Sounds good.
All right. Talk to you tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
Yep. Friday night.
Sounds good.
See you, buddy. All right. Take care.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good conversation there from Alfred getting things rolling. I love hearing his thoughts because he's very level-headed, even though he's what was he drinking? It wasn't strawberry wine tonight. I love a relaxed Alfred. That makes for a good show. All right, we have our next call on the line. Who's joining us?
Hi, it's Alexa from California.
Hey, hey, hey. Thanks for becoming a patron today over on Patreon.
Oh, yeah, you saw that.
I appreciate that so much. Thank you again. That was awesome.
Yeah, I figured I'm listening to so many shows, especially these extra shows, that it just makes sense.
I appreciate it. And I was getting ready to mention what you just put on the screen for us, that this mask policy is now, is it the whole? I saw rumors of that today, but I know Orange County, right? They have the rule for the masks.
Yeah. So I might not have all the details of this. There are so California is also, like many other states, there are big cities, but there are also rural areas of California that haven't experienced very many cases. And so there are parts of the state that are much more open than other parts. So I'm in Orange County, and we just had our inside dining rooms open. Okay. With social distancing and everything. And my husband and I actually went to a restaurant for the first time last weekend, but we're only eating on outside spaces. That's what I feel comfortable doing.
Well, we ate outside tonight because it was an option. Now, see, we went last week to the same place, but like we were a little bit later. You know, I like to eat early, so we usually get a pick of the place with all the seniors. But we were delayed for some reason last week. And so last week, it was beautiful last week here. So we got there, the patio was already full because, you know, they can't have it, you know, as full as the old days. So we had to eat inside. And the funny thing is this place we go, it's called Cyberg's, and they have a big dining room, but they also have like a big bar that turns into like a club at night with a stage. They can have DJs and bands and stuff. So anyway, with social distancing, they've shut down the dining room section basically so they can spread people out around this bar, like on high tops, you know, those big bar tables. And so I told my wife, like, I was living my dream. We got to eat on the bar side. There was no smoking. And we were dead in the middle of the dance floor. Like, we were on the hardwood floor, like, where you'd be just tearing it up during in the club. I'm like, we're eating our chicken sandwiches at 4:30, like, in the middle of the club, on the middle of the dance floor. It was so crazy. But, that was the first time we'd really eaten inside a restaurant. And I didn't feel that. I didn't feel unsafe. I mean, we were way spread out. It was more than 6 feet between every table. The servers were masked up. Everybody was careful, it seemed like. I mean, I'm pretty laid back on that kind of stuff, and I didn't feel nervous at all. I mean, I think we're okay here. We'll
yeah, see. I think it really, really depends where you are. And listening to this podcast is actually something that has been so striking to me with, like, here. I mean, people outside, like if you're just walking around the neighborhood, people don't have masks on, but anywhere inside and everyone still does, which is good because it's going to be negative for a moment. But I mean, cases in Orange County, California, this is one of the worst counties in the country right now, where we still have cases that are increasing.
And that's so, the thing, that's where I feel for Disney, and like, the thing is, I'm torn so many different ways on how to feel, because obviously number one is I want people to be safe, and be healthy. Because if you don't have your health and you don't have a feeling of safety where you live, where you work, where you, hang out with friends and family, I mean, life's terrible otherwise. I mean, forget Disney for a second. You just got to be safe and healthy and all that. But we're all Disney fans. We all want to go. And the thing is, I know we want to get these parks open. Trust me, I make my living when people travel to Disney destinations. When people are not traveling, it's really hard for me to do anything as far as my income. So I'm like walking this fine line myself. And I know Disney's doing the same thing because they're a business. They're there to make money. They have shareholders and all, you know, all kinds of levels of concerns. But I truly deep down, I know they want to keep their guests safe. But it's one of those things like, if not now, when, you know, if they delay from July 11th to, or, you know, or they push it back from like, you know, late July for Disneyland to, you know, whatever, you know, it's like one of those things. I mean, you could wait forever and it could be 5 years from now and everything's safe. But where's that? I think they're walking that balancing act. When is it safe enough, maybe? I guess that's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So here are my quick thoughts about it. And I guess this is all considering that my brother-in-law, who's in Philadelphia, actually got tested today. But it seems like his fever is coming down, but like, you know, it is scary. So I guess my warning to people is that it's not over. And to like keep being careful in your daily life. That being said, I'm in Orange County, California. We do have cases increasing. I work at a university, and we just got allowed back a couple weeks ago, but I have to wear masks for my job as a scientist. So mm-hmm. like, I'm not a healthcare worker or anything, but we're still wearing masks. But one of my best friends is altering her wedding plan, and she's going to get married in Southern California in like a small ceremony in September. And she and I have plans to go at this point to celebrate her wedding. So that'll be great. So I should be going masked up and everything to Disneyland in September. And I'm very excited about it. So I guess that's my thing, is like, be cautious, especially in your daily life. But you know, they do have to open at some point, and yeah. I totally understand that.
That's who I really feel. I feel so bad for people like that, like Brian. Because remember, I used to work in the wedding industry, so I knew every Saturday night I was DJing somebody's wedding reception, and I always told myself, you know, I've DJed this wedding reception, you know, in this venue, you know, 45 of the last 52 weekends, you know, but for this bride and groom, this is their one and only, you know, like it's, even though every wedding reception you played about 75% of the exact same songs. I mean, cause there were just songs people danced to, but the thing is, that's a one-time deal. That's what they look forward to their whole life. And I feel so bad for like brides, grooms, graduates, you know, all these folks that are missing out on like proms and so forth. Oh, it's such a struggle, but you're right. I mean, eventually you just got to say, we're going to do everything we can that we have, because you're not going to have control of everything. We're going to do everything we have. Like you said, September, hopefully things are better. I mean, you know, I'll pray that it turns around and that everything's safe. Because, I mean, a lot of that's your mental being. You know, I couldn't imagine. I mean, I remember just, you know, I'm the guy and I was a little stressed before our wedding, you know, 14 years ago. My wife was super stressed. But I can't even imagine with this hanging over your head. She's got to be like really, really stressed about all her, you know, what's going on.
Yeah, it's fun fact, I think she's postponing like her big wedding for a year, but then she and her fiance are going to have more of like a impromptu beach wedding. It's going to be great. Anyway, good. I was like pep talking her today about, you know, she got to get a new outfit because she had, you know, a big dress, and now she's going to, anyway. So I was hyping her up for like a bonus wedding, but yeah, I mean,
that's true. That's a good way to put it, you know, because you could always have another celebration, you know, like with your, you know, the big party. Yeah. That's, I love that when people come up with these creative ideas. And let me ask you this, because you mentioned you work on a university. So my daughter does too. She works with the Mizzou Athletics. And so when they go back, they're going to have to quarantine. Like all the athletes are going to quarantine for a few days, like 5 or 6 days. They're going to get tested. She's freaking out because I got to stick the thing up her nose. I think, you know, she's not a big into that. But I was like, hey, man, that's what you do. You're working in athletics. But we just heard tonight that our University of Missouri system, when they go back, and they are going back in person in August, all the students will have to wear masks inside, at least, at everywhere. But here's the thing that got me on the news. The professors have to wear full face shields when they're instructing.
Oh, whoa.
Can you imagine that? Like, I mean, it's just like every day I'm just like, the visuals of my world just like, it just blows me away. Okay. So I got these professors up there talking about biochemistry or what have you, and they're like in a welder's helmet.
And a face shield.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, what's going on? But I mean, it's safety first, I guess.
Yeah, this is rambling. I do have a quick Disney thing to share after this, but just in relation to that, one of my friends, as I'm finishing up her PhD, and she just found out this week, She's got hired at her dream job, UChicago, as a teaching instructor. She's brilliant. She's chemistry PhD. Anyway, her first semester is going to be fall of 2020. And she has no idea right now officially if it's virtual, if it's in person, if she'll be wearing a face shield, you know, and she's going to be like a first time professor.
That's another, you know, exactly. Like, it's not hard enough to do the job in the traditional sense. You know, with all this uncertainty, I can't imagine. Oh, my gosh. That's why, you know, I hate that I'm a travel agent, because right now there's no travel. Like, I'm just an agent, you know, like it's a travel. It's there's just nothing happening. But I know it'll turn around shortly. I just keep telling myself that every morning when I wake up. But I feel like I know what I'm doing. But I've told my guests that, like, oh, I'm so glad that you're here, that you know everything that's going on. And I always email my guests back like, I'll be honest with you, I feel like a rookie right now. I don't know what's going on either, because, you know, Disney doesn't know what's going on. So we'll get through it together. But yeah, you're right. It is such an uncertain time. Let me ask you one last question, though. So do you think, you know, they're opening up on the 65th anniversary Disneyland, which I think is kind of cool. I mean, you got to do it on some day. So why not do it on a cool day? You know, like, that's a good day if you're going to pick one, I guess. But is that too, because you're in the middle of the situation. Is that a good date? Should they push it off? Is it too late? I mean, what do you think? They nailing it or what?
I think there are a lot of locals who are going to be really excited, and they're going to, I think they're going to be there, masks and all. And so I do think it's the right move for the company now that they've announced it, and it's on the 65th anniversary. Like, I have people who are really excited to go. I just called Disney yesterday to get my annual pass extended. So now that I know when it's opening, right? So now I'll have it through the rest of my time in grad school, which will be fun. I mean, really, I have no idea. It's all just the balancing act. And I am glad that Disney's going to be strict about enforcing masks and sanitation and things like that. But I do think there will be people there. I also don't think, like, if you've seen the news coming from Shanghai, because they also have reduced capacity on rides, I think the wait times are going to be about the same.
Yeah, I agree.
I think so. I think if people go expecting like 5-minute waits, I don't really think that's going to happen. But I do think it will be fun.
But then again, you're seeing people at Hagrid's, right? You know, riding that Hagrid's Roller Coaster Universe like 4 or 5 times before lunch, which was
that's crazy.
Like, you know, like, that line was 6 hours long. You know, it is kind of crazy, but it'll be interesting. And the good news about being a local, I've thought about this too. You know, if I go down to Walt Disney World, I'm 15 hours from home. I'm invested. You know, like, I'm not going to go into the Magic Kingdom like, oh my gosh, this is what I'm expecting. I'm going home. You know, because I've spent all the money in travel, lodging. The good news is at Disneyland, being a local, like, if you see something that makes you uncomfortable, you can go home and come back next month. You know, so that's why I feel good for folks like you.
I'm sorry, real quick, because I know people are probably trying to get in, but my actual Disney thing is that, one, I have a show idea, which is, since I canceled Reflections, what hotel would you want to see at Disney? So let me know if you
like
do that one.
We will.
Because I've been thinking about it all day.
All right, probably tomorrow night. And, let's do that.
Okay, cool. And then two, this is an uplifting thing. I think I know when they're going to open Ratatouille. There's not a date for that yet, right?
I don't think so. No.
I think they're going to make that a big thing for Food and Wine.
That makes sense. Oh, that'd be perfect. I've never seen the movie, but I know the essence of it. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. Do we need a Food and Wine Festival this year?
I was just thinking, because it got delayed, and they could like advertise it and then get people back and then have all the merchandise. And anyway, that's my, I'm calling it right now.
Think of all the merchandise you could have tie in with that tie in. Oh my gosh.
Exactly.
You just hit a home run for Disney. Somebody in Disney's like, oh yeah, okay, we got Ratatouille. It's going to open in September, late August. Got it. Done. Yeah, perfect. Because I think about it, it's like a month after Epcot opens. Give them a little time to get back on their feet. Yeah. I bet you that happens.
Cool. Okay. Right. Well, you heard it here first. Thanks, right. Mike.
Thanks so much for the call. You take care and stay safe. All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you too. Okay,
thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yes, I know I should watch Ratatouille. There's a lot of movies I should watch, but I did watch Moana about a month ago, and I really love that movie. I will watch it. I've seen all the like scenes from Ratatouille on Disney Cruise Line, because they always have the movies playing on the Funnel Vision, and I'm in the pool. I see kind of highlight reels. I never sit and watch the whole movie, but I enjoy, you know, watching stuff. And Ashley, I am not coming out of retirement to DJ your wedding reception. Oh, we could. Let's do it. I used to, yeah. I've probably we'll talk about this on one of the Mike in the Midwest podcasts down the line, but I bet you in my life I have DJed. I did it for about 10 years, and there's 50 weekends approximately in a year where you can DJ. Probably did 30. I've probably done 300, 350 wedding receptions. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, 75% of the music was the same. You would cater it to the bride and groom, but a lot of the stuff in the heart of the party, everybody got down to back in the day. I could get them on the dance floor. All right. Everybody's loving that idea for Ratatouille at Food and Wine. I think you're onto something there, and I'm scared to say your name because I don't want to to set off everyone's devices. All right, Wade, hang on. I'm resetting Skype. I see a couple people trying to get in. Let me get this pop back up. Oh, Skype is such a pain in the rear. Okay, we're back up. 407-413-9395. 407-413-9395. Looks like we have Marlessa on the line now. What's up, Marlessa?
Hey, Mike. So this Ratatouille thing, it gave me an idea, actually. Since you haven't seen it, it's like, because I saw that, I was like, Mike, I can't believe you haven't watched Ratatouille, but I don't know, maybe we need a Patreon poll of which movie does Mike watch.
Oh, dude, I'm not good at watching movies. But the thing is, like, I haven't even watched movies without sports. Once sports starts again, then I'm really not watching movies. So that's usually, here's the thing.
Well,
if I was ever going to watch movies, it's now, because I always, the only thing I watch really was sports. I watch old game shows on Pluto TV, and I watch Live PD, which Live PD is gone now, too, so... Yeah, my movie watching time is wide open. Wide open.
I feel like I'm indirectly just a reminder that Live PD is canceled for you now.
Yeah, that's a bummer. What can you do?
I didn't hate that. Wasn't my call. And that's not me. But I appreciate that you recognize the number. And hope you do get to watch Ratatouille. It's you can kind of think that cooking's kind of a sport. I don't know.
Kinda.
That might be a stretch.
I'll
but
check
I'm just trying to
I'll check it out.
I think one other thing that a Disney-related news that I think I saw today or yesterday, I don't know if you saw it, of how apparently Disney will be doing using the Incredibles kind of
yes.
throughout the park, and I thought that was as working in like marketing myself, like I thought that made perfect sense. Like I think like I know someone else. I think it might have been Eric. Had suggested that Cusco, the No Touchy, and I love that idea, and I kind of still would love to see that used somehow, but I think, the Incredibles makes sense, for with each character, like Elastigirl, you literally have someone who can stretch to keep people away, and, Dash with the, wash your hands, don't forget. So that makes sense. I thought that was a really good campaign, and it's good to see that.
Oh, you know what? You're exactly right. Hang on. We have breaking news. That it is all over Twitter that Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party for 2020 has been canceled. Ooh. And actually, Mark has it in the chat as well. So I just saw it on Twitter, WW Magic, Inside the Magic. Yep. And all over the place. So no Halloween parties this year. Bummer.
Wow.
No,
breaking
but you're right.
News while
yeah,
call.
I know. Well, that's crazy. I mean, that's a big deal. A lot of people... And it says, Food and Wine Festival starts July 15th. So there you go. Well,
what?
While we were talking about that, we got news that when Food and Wine Festival starts, we talk about it 2 minutes later. We get breaking news on that, too, from Disney Parks. That, is it a I'm trying to read it here. It says, we're pleased to share that we've cooked up a modified experience for a fall favorite. A Taste of Epcot International Food and Wine Festival will be our longest festival yet, debuting July 15th and continuing through the fall. So there you go. It doesn't say they're going to have Ratatouille open, but they might. That's crazy. Okay. Well, there you go. No Halloween, but lots of food.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I think with the Halloween party, I've never personally gone to the parties. I've wanted to. I'm not too surprised ever. Because, I think you've even brought up on a few shows of trying to figure out, what would they do, because if they were committed to still not doing fireworks by that point or parades, and if assuming character meet and greets in the parks are going to still be non-existent, I think those are probably the three big reasons aside from the candy, but that's still being close to someone. So I guess it makes sense. But I think people probably had that glimmer of hope because I remember when a lot of other things were being canceled, those that wasn't yet. And I think people were kind of thinking, oh, maybe this will happen, or, you know, because that's a controlled event.
Yes.
In the sense that they can really limit the tickets. So I think that was giving people hope as well. So, yeah. So, I mean, I'm sad for people that, you know, we're looking forward to going, but I'm not like too surprised. I want to say that I'm surprised enough we don't want to be that early, but I can say that honestly. I think we've all kind of joked in the Disney community about how, you know, at a certain point, the festival will probably be kind of year round anyway, with no break in sight. And Food and Wine is obviously, you know, I think the most popular one, and locals love it as well. Will be interesting to see how they, if they space out the booths any differently or anything like that.
It is interesting. We don't know. And we're seeing that the Eat to the Beat concerts are not going to happen this year as well as a part of Food and Wine. So that draws a lot of people. Again, that's the whole thing. I just said it. Really, what I just said is one of the reasons. You got a lot of these folks that come in to see their favorite groups, and you don't. It's so bizarre to say that you don't want things that bring in large crowds when that's exactly what Disney needs to make money. I don't see this festival going for 5 or 6 months, but I mean, I guess I could be wrong. But if I think here's the thing, when I think of Food and Wine, I think of the biggest crowds at Epcot of the year. I used to run the Food and Wine half marathon every year, but I quit running it because that weekend was so busy. It was busier to me than New Year's Eve. It was crazy. You couldn't get around. It was hot and it was fun, Food and Wine Festival, but it was so, so busy that either they're doing this because of the limited capacity, they can handle it and they can make more money. There's more opportunities for spending again, I'm just making this up as we go. I just found out 5 minutes ago, but it's interesting because it is high demand. You're going to have a lot of people wanting to get into Epcot, especially locals, for something like a festival like this.
Interesting. Right. And I know that I don't know if this will also be announced while we're on this call, but the reservation system, I know no one knows for sure, but I know the rumor has been that maybe this week, if not early next week, we'll maybe find out about more information about that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Cause I mean, I'm kind of interested to see how that will work out. I mean, like I don't currently, you know, like have a trip for this year, like not until like marathon weekend, as you know, but I mean, I have been kind of tempted to just like, for some reason I've had Wilderness Lodge on my mind. Like I've never gotten to go there, and it's like probably the top of my list of resorts I haven't been to, but want to. And my birthday is like the first week of December. And I keep thinking, I wonder if I could try to sneak down and just hang out at Wilderness Lodge just to see, experience that for Christmas. But yeah, it's definitely an interesting time. And, you know, to kind of echo that what Alfred said, he and I kind of like see eye on the masks and all that. And I think it's very, you know, important that they are being enforced more, because unfortunately, like I've seen like firsthand, like right here in like New York City, that, you know, if people have the option that it's kind of like, hey, you don't like have to wear them, like a lot of people will choose to not wear them. And it's a scary situation for like people who like me or anyone else who's just trying to, you know, be safe and do the right thing and keep their distance. So, and like I said before, like I don't want anyone to be at Disney and feel unsafe. Like it's already going to be a very different situation.
Totally.
For people, it's going to be a different type of vacation. So even though like I'm personally not probably going to be there within the first few months of the opening, like I always bring this up just because I think it's important that, you know, people, like I want everyone to have a great time and feel safe. And just, I mean, I certainly know how it feels to be walking around with a mask, and it's not fun, but walking around with a mask and then you see someone get too close, it just, like you said, like it is a psychology thing. Like I immediately think, oh, that person must not care, or that person just isn't taking this seriously, and it dampers my day for a few moments. And it sucks to feel that way in my neighborhood.
If you see somebody with a mask on, you're probably thinking, well, at least, you know, they probably wash their hands more, you know, because if they have the mask on, they're probably following through with all the protocols. Where if you see somebody not masked up, maybe you're thinking they're just kind of reckless, possibly. I don't know.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly. Like it's definitely like an instinctual psychological thing where, you know, and I know, like, you know, you don't entirely know what's going on, but like in a situation like this, especially in a like highly dense area like New York City, and also if you kind of think of Disney World as its own city in a sense, like you want to see the people with masks right now. Like, it's not, I know it's not, it might feel weird, but it's just, it helps make everyone feel more safe. And it definitely is scary. Like, I've it's gotten a little better now. Like, I mean, for me personally, like, I've gotten better at not allowing myself to get as stressed about it, but I've definitely had so many days here where it's just, I just try to go for a walk, or I am on my run sometimes, and I just feel so stressed. I'm just like, man, I just can't believe that all these people, like, especially in somewhere like New York City, like, yep. I understand, like, some other areas haven't been hit as hard, and it's weird, but, like, somewhere like here, I just feel like everyone should be doing it, and, you know, kind of scary when
it
they
is.
Know.
It is, and yeah, so I'm also getting more information that H2O Glow Nights at Typhoon Lagoon are not happening. I'm just trying to follow along here. The Eat to the Beat concerts are not. Here's another thing that I think is going to totally, again, just guessing, and they're going to, some things are TBA, but I would guess the Wine and Dine Half Marathon is in dire, big time danger at this point. I've kind of given up on the Chicago Marathon, which is in October, because it's a big group event. I don't know. We'll see. Again, I don't know about to have these things, but it's not looking good.
But yeah. We'll see. I know you've been looking forward to the Chicago, so I'll hold on hope on your behalf, but I don't know what's going to happen. I'll be hopeful for you, but I mean, I don't know. Part of me gets a little worried about January, to be honest, but yep. I'm really looking forward to that, but I hope that happens.
That's what I'm telling myself. If January happens, I'm happy. If I don't get Chicago, I'm fine. If I can have January, I'm good, but we'll see. So, all right, I got to run because I want to get a couple calls in here, and I want to actually play that little story from the podcast on the Patreon, and we're running low on time. So, yeah, lots of news, and we'll see how this all falls out. We'll talk more about it tomorrow night.
Yep. Talk to you soon.
All right,
loving everything.
Later.
Patreon.
Okay. Thanks. I appreciate it so much. Bye-bye.
Talk to you. Bye-bye.
All righty. Let's get to, let's see here. And all right. So what I'm going to do here real quick, I want to play this and we'll take one or two more calls with all this breaking news. Oh, and it's not good news. It's a modified, it looks like it's a modified Food and Wine Festival. So Miss Kay was asking, do we think we'll have all the booths? I would say no, because of distancing and because of the limited capacity into the parks. I don't know. Let's get one more call in here, then I'll play the little teaser from the Patreon. All right, we have Wade on the line. Wade, what's going on, buddy?
Well, geez, Mike, I heard you say Wine and Dine's in peril, and I've totally been expecting that to be the next shoe to drop here any second.
I don't want it.
The Wine and Dine Half Marathon, I should say.
Yeah, that's one of those things that I think when they. I don't really know what to say, but I think when you can have a successful Run Disney event, or even a running event anywhere at any kind of scale, that's when we know that, and we can successfully have it, nobody gets ill, or very few people do. That's when we knew, no, we're on the other side of this, and I just don't think we're there right now. And if they don't think they can safely hold a Halloween party in a very, very controlled environment, I really worry about the Wine and Dine Half. But I hope it happens for everybody, but I definitely kind of have it on your mind that, it's probably 50-50 at best right now.
Yeah, that's what I was talking to a friend about. I said, I'm like, well, I've got plane tickets. I've got my hotel with my DVC points. And, of course, I've paid the 300 and whatever it is for the challenge race. And they're like, oh, my God, you're in so much money. I go, well, airfare is United Way change fees, so I can at least get the credit back. DVC points, that's okay. And Disney will do something with the entry. But I am right now expecting it will not happen. There's a local half marathon here in Lincoln, actually the weekend before, that my brother works for Pepsi. Sorry, I know it's not Coke Zero.
It's totally fine. My wife's a Pepsi drinker.
Okay, there you go. All right, good. They're one of the sponsors. And they reduced the capacity from, they normally do like 7,000. They reduced it to 3,500. I got a priority registration, so I'm like, yeah, I'll sign up for it. I don't mind running half marathons back to back weekends, whatever. So, and that's my backup. Now, that could also get canceled, but it's again they cut it down to 3,500, and a lot less than Disney would be trying to deal with for Wine and Dine.
Yeah.
I don't remember what ran. I ran Wine and Dine. I've run it quite a few the last few years, and there were a lot last year. I mean, it was big. It was it was in the. No, it wasn't as big as January, but I'm going to say it was.
Would you say the 14,000 half marathons? I was guessing. If I had to guess, like for half marathons outside of marathon weekend, probably I was going to say 12 or 12 to probably 15, somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah, it was somewhere in there. You know, I always look at the results and you always kind of look at what the finishers are, you know, and of course, I know not everybody finishes, but it was somewhere around, I want to say 12.7 or 13, something like that. But then you get the 5K, the 10K, the kids races, you know, there's a lot of people that are there. And so I'm fully expecting that. I should have started off by saying I'm drinking sangria, homemade sangria tonight, because I know Alfred's got a tall gin and tonic.
That's a gin and tonic. That's it. Yeah, cheers to Alfred up in New York. You know, real quick on this, I want to just one more time. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, I look for trends. You know, I always told my students when we were, you know, sitting down and looking at how a kid was doing in school, I didn't necessarily look at this grade on that test or this grade. We'd always, you know, I'd look at the grades and say, okay, are you trending up? Are you trending down? Like, how are things, like, what is the progression? Like, where are we going towards if we look at the data? And when I see something like the Halloween party being canceled, it has me kind of a little spooked on a couple of levels. One, it's a big moneymaker because it's a second day they can sell the same park, you know, with that hard ticket. So they can get people in there during the day, then close it and get people back in for a super premium for these parties. And also it's even a more controlled environment, I think, than they're going to have with the theme park reservation system, because it'll be even a smaller crowd and a more refined experience. You know what you're getting. You're not getting every attraction, but you're getting certain things. And it just this one kind of gets me a little bit, just because this is probably the most controlled environment Disney has is the hard ticket events. And if they are still uncomfortable with that for August right now, you know, I thought maybe they might cancel like the August parties, because the October parties are so expensive. I mean, I'm shocked that they didn't say, okay, we're going to cancel all the Halloween parties till mid-September or till October 1st, because that's when they really jack up the prices and they bring in the money. But I don't know. It just, I hope things turn around, but this is, to me, this is trending in a bad direction with that.
Yeah, it's not a good sign. I kind of thought the same thing. I said, okay, they will cut those first ones off. They will limit, and I've been to like 4 or 5 Halloween parties and I think 2 Christmas parties. They're great. I went on Halloween once, which was like, wow. I mean, it was busy. It was busier that night than I think it was during the day at Magic Kingdom. But and then now it's been a few years, and now the tickets, like you said, they're very expensive. And I thought, well, they'll cut the attendance in half. You know, if they normally sell, I don't know, 15,000 tickets, they'll sell 7,500 tickets or whatever it is. I thought that's what they would do. Canceling them altogether that's a little shocking, actually, because they can control that. You know, they get the day crowds out by 7 or whatever. You know, they start checking if you have the wristband or whatever, and then you bring in the night crowds. And I don't know, maybe they just felt it's not enough time to clean and sanitize overnight. But I mean, they're used to having a crew there, you know, the third shift crew or whatever, cleaning overnight anyway. So I don't know. That's a shocker. And then food and wine starting in July.
That's I'm crazy. Like,
wow. I mean, you know, I love Epcot when there's no festivals. It's actually kind of nice sometimes when you're walking around, there's no festival. I love the festival. I love food and wine. I love Flower and Garden. I've not been to the Festival of the Arts. That's fairly new. But love the festivals. Love the food, all that. But, that was a little bit, jarring too. I did check my annual pass to see if it's extended, but I extended it in February, right before this all happened, of course. And then because it expired like March 11th. So I've got the certificate when I look at my Disney Experience, because I haven't cashed the certificate yet. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So when I first pulled it up, it said expires like December 31st, 2030. And I went, wait, what?
Yes.
Exactly. Then I'm like, oh, certificate. Oh, I gotta go to the will call or whatever and like say, can you, you know, give me the actual, you know, load the actual pass on.
No, so, you're like, Disney did us right. Like, Disney did us right, man. We lost 100 days. We got 10 years.
Exactly. So anyway, that was kind of funny. But,
oh, my gosh.
A lot of news, you know. And the mask thing, I've had reports of salons not wearing masks in Orlando. I was talking to our guy down there, and he goes, people just aren't taking it serious. The cases are going up. And I'm like, dang, the one way that we can stop this without a vaccine is just to wear a mask. And I know when you feel healthy, you don't want to. I don't want to. Yeah. And I'm healthy. You know, I haven't had a test. I don't think I have it. I don't think. But the local high school baseball team, today's the first day they could play. And the high school by our house where both my kids played at. Three of their kids tested positive today. They all have to quarantine, and now all their games are canceled for the next 2 weeks. So and these are 17, 18, you know, 19-year-old American Legion baseball team.
Yep.
I know you guys have Legion ball in Missouri too, I believe.
I played Legion ball for 5 years. Loved it.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. And so, yeah, they were supposed to have their first game tonight canceled. They're supposed to play a team from Kansas, actually, Pittsburgh or something, I think, and they canceled it, and now all the kids have quarantine. And so, I mean, there's kids, I'm sure they felt they're pretty, you know, you're pretty bulletproof when you're that age.
Yeah.
But these kids on the team got, and now it's like, oh, boy. So, not wearing a mask. No, it's not comfortable. It's not whatever. I find one. I've got a few that are comfortable. I just do it because I want to get through this thing.
Yeah,
I want to get a vaccine. I want to be able to go to Disney World. I want to go to New York City.
Totally. Yeah. I know. I want to get out and live life. Exactly. I know. Whatever it takes. You know, yeah. Like it's one of those things. You know, it's kind of, well. I mean, you're. You know, we relate a lot together because we're runners and stuff, and you know, played sports. But it's one of those things like.
Yeah.
You got to have the pain to have the gain. You know what? And it's, I mean, it's not that big of a pain, but I mean, sometimes there's a pain in the butt for the overall achievement that you want to have on the other end.
Yeah. I want to tell the folks that I see. I was at Home Depot. Half people were wearing them, half weren't. You know, we're a little like Missouri here. You know, we're smaller population. We've had cases, of course. But I want to tell the folks, I know you're healthy, man, but we just got to get through this. I mean, look, the local baseball team 3 miles away. Now they can't play for 2 weeks.
Yep.
You know, and now who knew? And it's just like, just wear the mask for the sense of normalcy. You get outside, you take it off, you get in your car, you go eat outside. Went and ate at a burger place, sat outside. It was great. You know, a little breezy, weather was nice. Fantastic. Just do it. Let's just get through this. And man, so we can get back to, again, not just Disney. I canceled a trip to Hawaii. I want to go to a Broadway show again, which I love New York City. And, I want to go, you know, just like you said, live life, run the Chicago Marathon for you and wine and dine and all that. So let's just do our part. You know, we wear masks to protect not yourself necessarily, but other people.
Amen.
And that's the thing that, it's hard. I get it. It's hard, but,
Well, hey, I hope that baseball season picks up sooner rather than later because I know what that means. That's important stuff. So
it is. So anyway, right, well, I know you're about at the top of the hour here, Mark.
Yeah,
Mike, but
just, I'm trying to follow Twitter. I'm scared something else is going to get dropped, and it looks like everything else is TBD right now. So we'll see.
I'm afraid to look.
Seriously, that's last time I keep Twitter open during the show. I was like, wait, yeah, why is it all going so fast? And it was because it's all Disney
stuff.
Thanks
a lot, Mike.
Yeah, okay, take care, Wyatt. Wait, I'll talk to you tomorrow night. All right. See you, buddy.
All right. Have a good night. Take care. Yeah. Bye.
All right. So we're going to sneak in one last thing. It's been a great show. Well, not a great show, not great news, but I promised a couple people today that during the end of the show tonight, I would play a little bit of what we have for the little Mike in the Midwest Patreon exclusive podcast. This is just a story of growing up here in the middle of the United States in Missouri. So here is, let me get this queued up here. So today we released episode one, and it was all about summer memories, stuff I did as a kid over the summer. And one of the things I did as a kid over the summer was cut grass. And so this is the story about me cutting grass with my best friend, Ryan, who lived across the street. And we'll see if you guys can hear this, and then we'll wrap the show and get out of here. But here's from today's Mike in the Midwest over on Patreon. Okay, finally, we've got two more things. So one of the things we did as elementary school kids, especially my buddy, who was my best friend at the time, Ryan, lived across the street. We would always come up with schemes to make money because we wanted to buy stuff. We wanted to, I was a kind of a nerdy kid. I had a Commodore 64, I had an Atari 26 to buy games to play. And so, you know, I didn't mind doing work and I still don't. One of the things we did was we wanted to cut grass for people on our street. So we had push mowers. And I remember that we did get a couple of clients. What we did was, back in the day, I had a Commodore 64, like I said, and I had this program called Print Shop. And eventually we got a better program called Print Master, which was better. But on Print Shop, we made these ads. I had a dot matrix Epson printer, the one that went zzz, 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 you know. And so we made little one, like flyers, you know, $7 a lawn. We would cut and we would trim. And so we got some clients. We hung them up around the streets and, you know, went house to house and dropped. We actually put them in mailboxes, which we found out was illegal. But we got a few people to do that. And so we went around, cut grass, and we'd get our $7 and, you know, spend it and, you know, whatever, playing Pac-Man or buying video games, Adventure or Target or what have you. So that was one of the things we did. We love cutting grass. Every once a week, we'd go by, cut the grass, trim, get our $7, and it was pretty sweet. So we did that. Now, I got to tell you the one story that we thought we had made it as grass cutters. We thought our business had taken off and gone to the next level. And I've kind of mentioned this story in passing to some folks, but you got to hear it here on the show. So my buddy Ryan, who was basically my business partner at 10 years old, his grandpa finally got an old used riding lawnmower. Okay, now we had a push mower. It was a Toro. Wasn't self-propelled or nothing like that. It was self-propelled by your arms and your legs is what it was. It was hard to push, but we didn't care. It's all you had. So he gets this riding lawnmower. Now, it's not a fancy one, but it was a riding lawnmower. For kids, it's like half riding lawnmower. It's like half go-kart, you know, because every kid on my street wanted to drive at 6 years old. So at 10, we really had the itch, and we had a riding lawnmower now, so we could drive this thing. So we're thinking, oh, man, think about how many lawns we can cut now because we have a rider. We're not going to be as tired. He can ride. One of us can trim. We can swap out. Man, we're going to be millionaires by the end of summer. Anyway, we get this riding lawnmower. Grandpa shows us how to do it. Grandpa Ed, Ryan's grandpa, and he's kind of leery about letting us go, but, you know, he was pretty cool. He let us have it. So there was this lady on the corner, this elderly lady, obviously couldn't cut her grass anymore. We worked out a deal, $7, we'll cut your grass, we'll trim it, just like for everybody else. And she was super kind, super patient. Sure, you know, you can cut our grass. Okay, so we go down there. Now, this is our first time cutting her lawn. So we take this riding lawnmower down there. Ryan drives it. I stand on the back, there's a little trailer hitch. I stand on that with the trimmer. We go down, man, we are living our best 10-year-old life. We have a riding lawnmower. We're getting paid to cut grass. Nothing is better in the world. So we get in this lady's driveway. We're getting ready. I hop off. I got the trimmer, and he's going to cut it. It's his riding lawnmower. I'm going to be the trimming guy, and, you know, we'll swap out at some point. Anyway, Ryan hops off the riding lawnmower because we're going to go up to the door to tell this lady that we're getting ready to cut her grass. Well, he doesn't exactly know how the riding lawnmower works. So he jumps off the riding lawnmower, and what happens is, actually, you push the pedal down to stop it. But when you let off on the pedal, the clutch lets out and the motor engages. So this riding lawnmower, as soon as he jumps off, jolts forward. And remember, we're in her driveway. Runs right into her aluminum one-car garage door. Just a solid sheet of aluminum garage door, one-car garage. And just crushes it in. But the riding lawnmower rides up the garage door. So it's basically going vertical. And then obviously it flips over on its back. The wheels are spinning. The garage door is crushed. And you should have seen our faces. Oh, I thought we were dead. I mean, you could have just killed us because we'd flipped the riding lawnmower. Hadn't even had it a day yet. Grandpa just got it for us. We had crushed this lady's garage door. You know, we're there to cut grass. Her garage door is now caved in. And we hadn't cut her grass yet. We were just getting ready to tell her we were going to cut the grass. So she was super kind. She understood. She kind of was mad at first, kind of giggled about it. Grandpa Ed was not super happy. But apparently, I don't even know how it all got worked out. She got her garage door fixed. We still did get to cut her grass. Ryan learned how to drive it a little better. We got lessons on it a little better. And that's the one thing I remember, though, is we thought we had it made in that riding lawnmower when it jolted out. I freaked out. He freaked out. But it was like slow motion. This thing just driving up the garage door. It slowly, the sound of it crushing in. Oh, my gosh. I will never forget that for the rest of my life. All right. So that is just one of the stories we told on Memories of Summer today on Mike in the Midwest. If you want to hear more stuff like that, just come on over and become a patron. I know so many people in the chat right now already have. Thank you so much for joining us and supporting the show during these times where travel is down. It's patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. I'm going to put out one of these every Thursday. There's a bunch of other stories on today's show, but that's just one that stuck out in my mind is a day I'll never forget from my childhood over the summer when we were going to be millionaires cutting grass, Ryan and I. All right, don't forget you can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at BeOurGuestMike. Of course, book your travel with themagicforless.com and use our Amazon affiliate link, Amazon or BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. All right, I'll be back again with you guys tomorrow night, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, right here on Facebook. You guys take care. Find out what you're going to do with those Halloween costumes now. Just go around the neighborhood, I guess. And I will see you in 23 hours. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.